It was one of utter shock and grief because the peace agreement provided an array of hope for the country, for the civilians, and most importantly, for the IDPs who have been in PRC sites since 2013. And we're actually looking forward to having durable solutions effected for them in order to assume normal livelihood.
And now you spoke about the peace agreement. I mean, it seemed, you know, when it was signed last August that perhaps South Sudan would be on the way to, you know, a better future for not just the internally displaced people, but all people within the country. So this latest turn is really quite surprising.
It's quite surprising because the peace agreement, as you know, took some time to negotiate, and it was quite a landmark agreement with very important segments to it that we aimed at bringing peace back to South Sudan. But it's also surprising that, you know, the hostilities that started on Friday were marked during the time when the president and the vice presidents were actually holding a press conference. So this raises serious problems as to who actually is in control of the fighting or the elements that are involved in the fighting.
And have you been in contact with anyone on the ground?
Yes, I've been in contact with UN colleagues on the ground, mostly humanitarians, and they've kept me up to date from, I think, Thursday when the first skirmishes started at the checkpoint, right up to today. And therefore, I decided to release a press statement today condemning the fighting and, of course, urging both parties to cease attacks on civilians as well as to respect the peace agreement and adhere to international humanitarian law, grant unimpeded access to the humanitarian, to civilians and internally displaced persons, and also to allow civilians access to safety in places where they seek such safety.
Perhaps could you share with us what those humanitarian colleagues have told you about what they have seen?
Well, what they have seen essentially is that Wild Town in western Bahr al-Ghazal state, for example, was emptied in recent weeks. Civilians fled from violence to the bush. An estimated 83,000 people are now seeking refuge in churches, schools, and outside peacekeeping bases of the United Nations mission in South Sudan. Others have run towards the airport, but there's fighting around the airport, and the airport seems to be closed at the moment.
And Mr. Bayani, you are a professor of international human rights law. What message do you have for the leaders of South Sudan?
Well, I had a mission to South Sudan in 2013. I had a working visit to South Sudan last year, and more recently, this year, in May, I went to South Sudan again to help launch a report on the protection of civilians and internally displaced persons. So South Sudan is actually quite close to my own intellectual thinking and the need for peace. So the message to the leaders is actually to make sure that the unity government works and works properly, that they should show leadership and not pull back because of the recent fighting. In fact, they should step ahead. If there are rogue elements on both of their forces, they should hedge them in and collectively not just appeal for peace and calm, as they have done, but take concrete measures to ensure that peace and the segments of the peace agreement are implemented, that there are no attacks on the United Nations mission bases, and that humanitarian workers are actually given the opportunity to go about to save lives and attend the needs of those who are in need.
Thank you. And as for South Sudan itself, of course, this situation unfolded as the country was celebrating 5 years of independence.
Yes. I mean, the press conference on Friday did allude to that particular aspect. And with hindsight, perhaps a celebration should have been called for on Saturday, no matter how dire the situation is. But the decision was taken not to have any kind of celebrations. Maybe celebrations would have reminded people in some small way or major way of where they've come from and where they want to go, and of the type of South Sudan that they actually desire.
Mr. Bayani, thank you so much for speaking to United Nations Radio. Is there anything further you would like to leave with our listeners?
I think it's important for the whole world, actually, to pay attention to South Sudan, to stand in solidarity with the people of South Sudan as they seek solutions to the problems that engulf them, and to remind those that perpetrate violence and breach international humanitarian law that they'll be held accountable for their unlawful actions.